Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to Fearless with Jason Whitlock. I'm Jason Whitlock, your host. Happy Saturday. Thanks for joining us. Awesome show planned for you today. We're going to be joined by Scap Attack. You guys know him, Jay Skapanek. He's been coming on the show recently. He puts out great social media content, short little viral videos, mostly focusing in on LeBron James. But he follows the entire NBA, and we're in an important time in the NBA because Kevin Durant is out of the playoffs. LeBron James is out of the playoffs. Steph Curry's out of the playoffs. We are seeing the torch passed in incredible fashion here. And there's a bunch of young stars that are waiting in the wings to take over as the face of the league. And so we'll have that discussion. But Scap, I want to bring you on and start by talking about the news that dropped Friday afternoon. Darvin Ham, LeBron James, just filled up another coaching vacant. I don't know if you're a fan of the TV show The Wire, but LeBron puts bodies in vacants, coaches in vacants, and Darvin Ham, the eighth coach, I believe, or I don't know how many coaches LeBron's put in a vacant, but your thoughts on Darvin Ham being scapegoated and run out of the Los Angeles Lakers locker room?
Well, Jason, the writing was on the wall. We discussed it, on the heels of their latest elimination that Darv was living on borrowed time. So, the reports kind of broke after the game that it was going to happen, sometime by the end of this week. So really not a surprise at all. Jason, you've got to have a scapegoat. When you're LeBron James, especially, he has to have a scapegoat. Anthony Davis played too damn well in the playoffs for it to be him. D'Angelo Russell kind of flashed some scapegoat-like tendencies for a couple games there. But ultimately, you saw LeBron throwing little temper tantrums intermittently throughout the series on the sideline. One of the most prominent ones, he's jumping up and down and slamming his hands. While, may I add, the Nuggets were going to get a layup at the other end. But that little tantrum was directed at Darv. So, the writing, it was just on the wall. And now with the Clippers looking like they're on the cusp of first round elimination, there's some murmurings that Ty Lue might be just kind of switching locker room sides there and rejoining with LeBron. Of course, they won that 2016 finals against the Warriors, so that's kind of in the discussion
right now. Let me stop you there. You know what that sounds like? And again, I'm older, but back in my day, what women would do to not add to their body count would be to recycle old boyfriends. And, a woman would break up with one guy. And it's like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do until my next boyfriend. But if I circle back to my high school or college boyfriend, doesn't add to my body count. He's already grandfathered in. And so maybe that's what LeBron is thinking here with Tyronn Lue. Won't add to his body count. He can recycle Tyronn Lue. Smart play perhaps here by LeBron James.
That's an interesting theory. Another one, let me just lay this one on you here too. J.J. Redick's name is being bandied about here in different social media quadrants. And there's reports, I don't know if you want to take them seriously or not, that the Lakers are maybe considering him, potentially not as the head guy, but somewhere on the staff. JJ, as you know, has recently teamed with LeBron to create this propaganda podcast the two of them are putting out, which is kind of rewriting some of the elements of LeBron's career one pot at a time. So, you know, JJ is in that clutch sports stable for LeBron. So keep your eye on him as well as a potential candidate.
Jay, let me ask you this, because I have to admit, I never watched the Lakers basically until postseason or pay any attention until postseason. But is there an argument that Darvin Ham was in over his head and a bad NBA head coach and perhaps deserved to be fired?
You know, Jason, I would say that Darv was certainly outclassed in this most recent series. I mean, Michael Malone is arguably the best coach in the NBA, at least one of the, you know, 3 to 5 best coaches in the NBA. But, you know, I think Darv is getting a little, I think he's getting a little too much criticism here. We can't really even necessarily see what his coaching styles are because he was just engulfed by the LeBron James system. You know, James has systematically taken over every team that he's virtually ever played for. And, you know, there's this myth that percolates around LeBron that, you know, he never has had a great coach, but he's played for a number of good coaches. I mean, Tyronn Lue is generally, you know, we mentioned him earlier, regarded as one of the few best coaches in the league. I mean, Eric Spoelstra is in a handful. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's one of the best right now, and LeBron couldn't stand playing for him. So, you know, Darv, is he the best coach in the NBA? I don't think so, but I certainly don't blame him for the Lakers' failures. You know, I put that squarely on the players. Anthony Davis vanished down the stretch of the fourth quarters, and, you know, LeBron James just didn't get a lot of those games over the finish line that were highly winnable games. But again, Jason, we need a scapegoat, and unfortunately for Darv, he is that guy.
All right, before we switch and move on from LeBron in some way and talk about some of these future stars, I want to thank, Scap, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of women have been emailing me and getting in the chats talking about how good I look. And you know, I've got some little secret sauces. This cardio miracle stuff, I'm telling you, even a young guy like yourself, you need to be taking cardio miracle. You need to be drinking cardio. And that's just if you want to age as beautifully as I have, Scap. I know I'm probably 20, 25 years older than you. Who knows? But you don't look as good as me. And it's probably because you're not taking Cardio Miracle. Guys, this stuff is great for your heart health. It's great for everything. If you want to look as good as me, as you see this weight melt off of me, you guys need to be visiting cardiomiracle.com/fearless. They will hook you up. They will hook you up with the receive 10% off your first order, 15% if you choose to subscribe and save. 60-day money back, no risk, 100% money back guarantee, Cardio Miracle. And that's only if you want to look this good. If you want to look like Scap, have at it. Don't drink Cardio Miracle. Scap, I want to move on because I think we're at an inflection point in the NBA. No Kevin Durant in the playoffs, no Steph Curry in the playoffs. No LeBron James, they've all been eliminated. People, basketball fans, are going to get a chance starting this weekend and moving forward to really take a look at virtually all of these candidates, the next guys up. And I wonder if we're optimistic about the next guys up. Obviously, Luka Doncic is in the MVP race this year. Phenomenal score. Nikola Jokic already has 2 MVPs. Many people think he's going to get his 3rd. Shai Alexander in Oklahoma City led his team to the number 1 seed. Ant-Man, the guy that I'm most excited about with the Minnesota Timberwolves, he's going to take on the Denver Nuggets and Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Ty Halliburton, my Indiana Pacers, they just knocked off now Giannis is even out of the playoffs in the Milwaukee Bucks. Jalen Brunson, Jason Tatum, couple of faces that like Victor Wembanyama. He's not even in the playoffs, but you know maybe he's got next. But of all these guys, these names I've rattled off, who do you like among these young guns who could potentially be the next face of the NBA?
Well, Jason, I think it's important we first define exactly what we're talking about here, because best player in the NBA and face of the NBA are not necessarily synonymous. Now, they can be, you know, and it's great for the NBA when that happens, like when Michael Jordan was the best player and the face of the NBA. But, you know, it's like with Hollywood actors, like Dwayne The Rock Johnson is not an actor. You know, he's a movie star. You know, Daniel Day-Lewis is an actor. Now, sometimes there's crossover there with a guy like Denzel, who, you know, qualifies for both. So if we're talking about the best player in the NBA right now, it's easily Nikola Jokic. And it has solidly been him for at least 4 years right now. I mean, he has really no close comparison. He will win his third league MVP this season. Likely should have won last season's MVP as well. And he is kind of a betting favorite to get out of the West. I like the Timberwolves in this next series. But he's trying to defend a championship now, which last year he had, historically speaking, a minimal supporting cast to win that championship. He is the best, Jason, but I kind of get the sense you're talking about something different, something that encompasses more of, you know, like a marketability range, a game style, an inherent flash, and that's kind of different. So I think that's kind of what you're asking, right? Who's that guy?
Yeah, who's going to drive marketing, shoe sales, ticket sales, who's going to be the face? And again, a lot of people thought, oh, it's Ja Morant. And then gunplay and stupidity and injury have kind of moved him to the back burner. And then obviously Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, has been very exciting for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I'm like you. I kind of think with this Twin Tower, Rudy Gobert, Carl Anthony Towns, deal, I think they're going to beat the Denver Nuggets in this next series, and Ant-Man's going to end up in the driver's seat. When I talked about him earlier this week, particularly for this show, I got some blowback and feedback because he had that abortion issue that I was unaware of when I was talking on last week's or earlier this week's show that I was unaware of. I don't know if that issue that he had a dust up with some woman where she said he offered her a bunch of money to have an abortion and he ended up putting out statements and all that. It does take some of the shine off for me, but I'm not sure if shoe companies or average NBA fans are going to care. The guy has a likable personality and he plays an exciting, passionate brand of basketball. And he would be my favorite for who's got next. You know, Luka Doncic is an awesome scorer, but he doesn't really play above the rim. And so I think that hurts him. SGA just being in Oklahoma City, not that Minnesota's much better. But anyway, your thoughts on any of these names I've thrown? Jalen Brunson playing in New York and putting up 40 points in, what, two or three of this opening round series against the Philadelphia 76ers. He's got the New York backing, and people are going to like him. Anyway, your thoughts.
So, Brunson, look, there's some undeniable elements that have to be present to take over face of the NBA moniker and drive the marketing machine that is the NBA. I think you hit the nail on the head. Nikola Jokic, while the best player, does not have that aesthetically pleasing level of basketball, you know, that we've seen, you know, previous NBA faces have. The skywalking element, playing above the rim. You know, Edwards checks a lot of boxes. His game on the court is extremely mature for his age. This kid, he's 22. He turns 23 years old in August. It's unbelievable the level of maturity in his game. I mean, he's shooting 44% from beyond the three-point line right now in these playoffs. A kid with basically like unparalleled athleticism. He's got the size, like the physicality, 6'4", 225 pounds. I mean, he really showed that killer will and that instinct, that the alpha mentality in closing out the Suns in the fourth game on the road. You know, you had Booker and Durant were both going off in that game at home in Phoenix. And Anthony Edwards outplayed both of them in the fourth quarter, showing that Mamba mentality characteristic of Kobe and, like you said, Jordan before him. But, you know, Jason, this is my one problem with him. You mentioned Luka Doncic. He is so dynamic with the statistical elements that he brings to the game, the box score that he fills up nightly. I mean, is in my opinion, you've got to be a perennial first team All-NBA caliber type player to be face of the league type stuff. Now, Anthony Edwards is in his fourth year this year. He's never even made an All-NBA team at all. He'll be second team this year. He was kind of a fringe first team. With these young players in the league today, like, is he going to be able to crack that perennial first team All-NBA type standing? I don't know that he can, because, I mean, Luka, Shai, Jason Tatum in Boston even, like, these guys all put up crazy numbers throughout the regular season.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So as it relates to Luka, let's just put all the chips on the table. You give these NBA voters, media people, any chance to virtue signal and say, I support the black guy over the white guy, they're going to run with it. And so I don't think that Anthony Edwards is going to have much of a problem winning media support and media voting. And if, trust me, if they somehow beat the Denver Nuggets, all those problems go away. And now it's just racial idolatry and Anthony Edwards, and he's the next big thing. I'll give you an example, and I don't know how. Do you pay attention to football at all, Scap?
I do.
First time I'm asking you this. Okay.
Yes, so a lot.
There's some receiver for the Buffalo Bills that everybody in the media, this rookie, they just drafted. Keon or Corion Coleman or whatever his name is. They're all making a big deal about, oh, he's the funniest guy. He's next. He's blah, blah, blah. And all it is he sounds ghetto. And so all the media is like, they want to show, hey, I like someone that sounds ghetto. And blah, and instead they've all jumped on board with him and he's the greatest thing in the world. Same things happening to a tiny bit. Now, on the court, I'm telling you, Anthony Edwards is just like next level. But because he's a little bit ghetto and unpolished, you're going to see media people just bending over backwards like, oh, God, this is just incredible. He doesn't enunciate his words properly and he curses and he sounds like Lil Wayne. Oh, it's just unbelievable. You're going to see that. And so I don't know. Getting the media behind Anthony Edwards will be the least of his problems.
So I have to echo what you're saying, because Nikola Jokic last year kind of had this media campaign going against him winning a third straight MVP. And it's difficult to not say that it wasn't racially motivated because he checked all of the boxes. But they, for whatever reason, there became this narrative, this push that he didn't have, you know, Joel Embiid didn't have as good of a team as Nikola Jokic, despite the fact he had Tyrese Maxey last year. He had James Harden leading the league in assists last year. But yet, oh, he didn't have as much help as Jokic. And then, of course, the scoring, the point outputs and point outbursts that we saw Joel Embiid have last year, it became all about scoring. Yet, you don't see Luka Doncic get that same kind of treatment this year as he's gone on his historical point spree this season. He's not being treated the same way as Joel Embiid. I even saw inside the NBA a few weeks ago, Jason, they were talking about how Luka Doncic is barely a first-team All-NBA player. They were talking about maybe Jalen Brunson in the first team instead. Obviously, Anthony Edwards' name came up. Luka Doncic averaged nearly a 35-point triple-double this year. He led the league in scoring this year. He was third in assists. And let me just go ahead and pepper this one on you as well, Jason. I don't know if you know this, but Right now, there are two players in NBA history that have scored over, that are averaging over 30 points per game in the postseason. Of course, as we both know, Michael Jordan leads the entire NBA, all players, 33.5 points per game in his playoff career. The only other player that is over 30 points per game for their career right now in the postseason is Luka Doncic, and he's averaging like 32 points per game. For whatever reason, this guy is getting marginalized, and look, I get it. He doesn't have the aesthetic appeal, the above the rim kind of player that we're talking about. Not really a great defender either. But in terms of his raw like box score, his advanced analytics, this guy is almost unmatched, but the hatred is coming. So I kind of might have to side with you on the fact that Edwards will have not much problem, especially if they do clear this round, which I'm with you. I think they will.
Jalen Brunson is fascinating to me because he's in New York and it's the Knicks. And even though the Knicks history isn't really that great, they somehow get treated like they have the history of the Celtics and the Lakers, and the Garden is this magical place. And but I'm wondering if his style of play, which is kind of in the kind of old man rec league, it's not really above the rim. He's kind of for NBA standards, he's just like kind of a tiny bit overweight guy that just puts up numbers and they can't stop him, and he's so technically sound, and there's just something about his persona or whatever, the winning and the clutch shots. But playing in New York does give him an advantage. Is his style of play exciting enough? It's not Steph Curry. He's not hitting logo threes. Is his style of play exciting enough to get in this conversation?
You know, I think it's going to be difficult. And he's had a tremendous stage in the first round of the playoffs. They kind of lucked out, got a banged up Philly team. Embiid was a shell of himself in this series. But I mean, he's averaging like 36 points per game right now. They now get the defensively soft Indiana Pacers in this next round. So the scoring outbursts are probably going to continue for Brunson, probably for another series before they're probably going to get into the Eastern Conference Finals this year. So that'll give him a lot of exposure. But, you know, as I was talking before, can he take the step into becoming like a perennial first team All-NBA caliber player? He's 27 years old. I believe he'll be 28 here shortly. Forget first team All-NBA. He's never even made an All-NBA team until this year. He'll be second team. In fact, this year was the first year he was even an All-Star. Now, maybe he's a late bloomer, sure. But I don't think that he's going to be excellent enough during the regular season to really insinuate himself into this conversation. And again, he's 6'2". I think he's listed at 6'2", 190, 185. Very difficult for a small guard to be face of the league caliber at that size. I mean, Iverson didn't really even ever pull it off. Steph Curry probably got the closest to being a small guard that really dominated the league for a little stretch of time and took over that face of the league standing. But Brunson, I just don't see him getting into that conversation. I think there's probably 3 to 4 guys we can squeeze in, and he's not one of them.
A little stretch of time for Steph Curry, I can see people's heads exploding in San Francisco. Like, man, this guy's been right there with LeBron for a long stretch, but I'm not going to go down there. I'm not going to make you defend that comment. So what about Ja Morant? Is he done? Did he shoot himself in the foot and there's nothing he can do to recover?
Yeah, I think, and honestly, I'm going to put Giannis Antetokounmpo in there. I think there was a period of time where it looked like Giannis might be that guy, very likable, super athletic, freakish athlete. And he had that one transcendent finals run where he won the NBA championship that one year. But he's just, the injuries to him, to his supporting cast, it just really hasn't taken off after that one championship. They've been quickly eliminated in the playoffs in the 3 years that followed that. Now he's going to be 30 next year. I think he's kind of missed his window. And I look at Ja Morant in that same light. I mean, Ja Morant exploded onto the scene. He was just absolute next level athlete, incredible athleticism. Even my wife, who knows absolutely nothing about basketball, was like, who's this Ja? Just the other day, she was like, who's this Ja guy? Like, I'm looking at these highlights and my God, this guy, he's like banging his head off the backboard. He looks like a tiny little guy. But Jason, he is his own worst enemy. He can't, I don't know what it is. Like, he feels like he has to prove himself to some degree. I don't know. I just don't understand what it is, what it is, where the chip comes from. And he's injury prone as well these last couple years. I think that these other younger stars have kind of passed him by already. He's already missed his window. The league, obviously, they do not think very highly of this guy. Obviously, Silver's suspended him for like a third of the season because of those aforementioned gun issues that he had with taking that unlicensed firearm, I believe, into a strip club. So he plays, like we were talking about small markets, he plays in Memphis, which is kind of a small market. The West is just so loaded. I think Morant is also just on the outside looking in with Brunson and those three or four finalists we have right now.
Let me throw one more curveball at you, and we'll end in this with this part of the conversation. The other thing that I think will be different about this next generation of NBA stars, at least this year and next year, for the next 2 years, at least, if not longer, I think they're going to be competing with Caitlin Clark in terms of like what brands are using in commercials and just pushing who is the face of basketball more so than the face of the NBA. And I could see a lot of brands like, we're going to make Caitlin Clark the face of basketball. And so the wise agent, marketer, athlete, and this is where Tyrese Halliburton has a chance playing in the same city as Caitlin Clark. If someone could develop some sort of connection to either fan support or just like there are some, if I'm Ant-Man and I really want to be the face of the league, I pretend like I'm the biggest Caitlin Clark fan on the planet and try to bait marketers and brands to put me and Caitlin Clark in commercials. And that is the kind of package I think the NBA and WNBA, because they're really the same thing, would get behind. They may try to do it with Tyrese Halliburton, but I just don't know if my Pacers are good enough. They're certainly, in my view, not as good as the Minnesota Timberwolves. But that may be the way forward for one of these guys. If I'm telling you, Anthony Edwards, anybody close to him is listening, hop in Caitlin Clark's DMs. I know she's got a boyfriend, I know she's our fiance or whatever, but if y'all could just be basketball BFFs, that would take your marketing over the top. But I do think Caitlin Clark's going to have some impact on any of these guys getting off the ground as the major, major face of the NBA, because there's going to be so much attention on Caitlin Clark.
It's an interesting point. I think before the NCAA tournament, I would have absolutely laughed in your face and dismissed everything you just said. But it's difficult to deny the numbers. Once I see every game she plays, and basically like the last three games she played in that tournament were at 14 million, 17 million, 19 million viewers, which is substantially more than any NBA games have gotten in years. I mean, it's been 6 or 7 years since we've seen an NBA game approach those kinds of numbers. An NBA game at any level. I'm talking even NBA finals games. So, I mean, the amount of attention she draws to the NBA, the eyes that she attracts is absolutely breathtaking. I, Jason, myself, have never watched a full women's basketball game in my life until Caitlin Clark, and I watched I think I watched every game she played in the NCAA tournament. It will be interesting to see. The WNBA is an absolutely abysmally run entity. It will be interesting to see what they do and how they promote her. I'm not sure that she alone is marketable. I don't know that she'll have the platform in the WNBA. I think the NCAA was better for her brand than the WNBA will be. But, you know, I'm interested to see what their marketing strategies are surrounding her. And I think that you make a good point. It would probably behoove her and some young NBA star to kind of tie these two together and kind of run them both together and help them build each other's brand.
Scap, thank you. Great job. Enjoy tonight's NBA games. I'm certainly looking forward to the T-Wolves Nuggets tonight. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you guys for watching. We will have tomorrow morning we'll have some content. Myself and Mike Farrell talking about Deion Sanders, what's going on in Colorado. Enjoy your weekend. Freedom, I want freedom. No negotiation, my sister, no relation. We all just want to have freedom. Sitting on a corner, never been alone. I'm breaking my back for freedom. Bless, we are living, get back. We are receiving, all deceiving. We all want to be free.